Last week, we gave a little bit of an introduction to the next week's Zera Emes, and then we tied it into the Devar Torah of the week. So we'll do a little bit as well, since Yisrael correctly pointed out that Dalet Elul, Monday in a week and a half, Dalet Elul 2026, English-wise, is 100 years since the yard site of the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma died in 1926 on Dalet Elul. 100 years later, it's coming up on Monday. So next week's Gilyan, in honor of the 100th yard site of the Meshech Chachma, I quote Mark Twain to you. Mark Twain famously said, "The rumors about my death have been greatly exaggerated." Mark Twain, there was a rumor in 1897 that he had passed away. It was all over the newspapers in the world, and he was still alive. And he was commenting that it had been greatly exaggerated. So next week's Gilyan, instead of being 100 years from the Patira of the Meshech Chachma, I'm quoting all the hespedim given about the Meshech Chachma in 1919. Because in 1919, after the World War I, when in Russia there were major pogroms happening, and the Lithuania even war, and the White Army versus the Red Army, we can't go into all the history, Mr. Moses will teach it to you, basic history, or there was a lot of pogroms going on, a lot of Jews were getting killed, Nebuch. The rumors, if you count the numbers, could be over 100,000. World War II dwarfed it, so no one remembers this. Tversky, there's a Tversky from the Tversky family who told my father one time that in one day, in one of the pogroms, he lost 200 family members. They all lived near each other. And there were major pogroms going on, and there's the fog of war, and no one really knows anything, even now, what we call the original fake news. So the original fake news in 1919 that was spread around the world in April, May of 1919 was that the Meshech Chachma was walking in the street and a gangster shot him to death. And it went all over the world. And he was getting hespedim all over the world, printed hespedim. And it was so far that 3 months later in America, in Av, they were still printing hespedim saying, "Ooh, guess what? We thought he had passed away. Then we heard a rumor that he didn't pass away, but we realized everyone was just wishful thinking because he really did get passed away." That's how confused everyone was in 1919. So I did some of the things that he's not the first person of fake news death, right? Not the first one. Yosef HaTzadik was fake news death, right? The Hesped, I'm going to quote next week, is someone comparing it to Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, they came with a bloody coat, and they said, "Oh," and Reaka said, "Oh, that means he died." But it was fake news. He wasn't dead at all. So fake news deaths have been occurring in Klai Yisrael for years and years. And even we see Mark Twain as well. If you Google Mark Twain and my death has been grossly exaggerated, there are like 85 different versions of the story. But one of them is that someone else died, even though Mark Twain was called dead, but that the line, when did he say this great line? That someone else died, and Mark Twain wrote a headline in the newspaper the next day that although everyone says Pliny died, when I spoke to him this morning, he denied it. So they have all these type of lines. So here we have the Meshech Chachma sitting in Dvinsk. He was in Dvinsk, the Meshech Chachma. He was the Rav in Dvinsk, and he stayed there during World War I. He stayed in Dvinsk, and at one point, he was living over there. He had no idea. Words were spreading all over. I did not find in my search for next week's Gilyan Yisrael what the Meshech Chachma said about his own early demise. That I couldn't find. But clearly, it was all over, and I'm going to show. I got hold of dozens of newspapers printing Hespedim and Bar Mifka. We have to have a Sifa. And at the end, it wasn't true. So I figured that was just amazing just to know about that what happened. So next week, Gilyan is not on the 100. I'm not just quoting the Hespedim from 100 years ago. I'm quoting the Hespedim from 107 years ago, 7 years before he passed away. Okay. And with that, we figure we'll tie it into this parsha. This parsha has a fascinating halacha. Perek Yudalet says like this. Perek Yudalet says, "Bonam atem l'Hashem l'keichem." We are all the children of Hashem. Now, how are you going to end the next statement? Which one of the 613 commandments follows that? If you have to guess, love your fellow Jew, right? Bonam Hashem, love your fellow Jew. Treat your parents well. Treat the rabbi well, right? That would be an important one. Not looking at you, I'm saying Samazoi.
Right away, you look at me.
No, not necessarily. So, Bonam Hashem, what's the next Isser? Lois is going to do, which means multiple interpretations. But one we're discussing tonight, Lois is going to do, which means don't make problems, which Rashi ties into a pasuk in Vayikra, where it says in Vayikra, "V'seret la'nefesh le'sitnu b'fsarchem." That means there was an ancient custom, it's idolatrous custom in the old days, which I think is still a practice by the Indians on the reserves. I have to go look. I thought I was going to look it up. I got to look it up. But it's an ancient practice. When someone passes away, they would knife themselves. They would knife, slash themselves. Cut themselves. It clearly the Torah is discussing because that was a practice. And it says the same right after it. It says, they also make themselves bald. They will pull out their hair. So one of the 613 commandments. Don't cut yourself when someone, it doesn't say here. What's fasting in the Devarim, it just says, don't cut yourself. It can mean on a regular Wednesday. But right, the Gemara points out, no, it's over here also, you have to put the two together. And here it says, it means when someone passes away. So it's limited. So if Stama guy is on a Wednesday cutting himself for random reasons, he is not violating the biblical law to be punished. Maybe he's violating a biblical law, but he's not being punished for that. The Malkus is given, the Rambam says openly, the Rambam in Perek Avodah Zarah, because it's tied into Avodah Zarah, says like this, Perek Yubez Lach Yubez, Hasoyret Svita Achas, if someone cuts himself, Ala Meis, that's what we're discussing. Loike, you get Malkus. Shenema Veser, never listen to Veserchem. You're not allowed to cut yourself. And if someone does it, and obviously he's properly warned, he will receive lashes for such a thing. Okay. Open Rambam, open Alacha. The Rambam adds on, not just on a Meis, but by the Zara. The biblical violation that gets you lashes is when you cut yourself on, in honor, in grief, whatever the word is, for a dead person, a priest who died. Or when you do it in honor of an idol. The Rambam himself says, but if you...
The Rambam is going to be you're supposed to give them a straw, right?
Yeah. So here it says a few paragraphs later, Hakaira karchala meis, if he does it for the meis, that's pulling his hair out, same idea, like he gets Malkus. Same idea. And then he says, Hakaira roshay, and then the Rambam adds in this no, that the only time you're going to get Malkus, ve'ena loike, ela ala meis bevad, oila vaydazara. That's when you get Malkus. But let's say a guy is Kaira Karch, he's ripping his hair out, or Sarat Sweet, he's cutting himself. Why? Because, here he says, because his ship went down, or his house fell down. Al Beisoy Shenafal, Al Sfinasa Shetava. A tragedy happened, but it's not a mace, it's his house went down. You don't get Malkus in that case. That's a Rambam. But the Malkus case is going to be Dafka on a mace. Okay. Now, I saw from Kush's Rosh Hashiva, since we quoted Kush last week, because Rosh Hashiva Rav Landau says, as a matter of fact, a statement that we're going to have to discuss. Rav Landau says that when it says the word Akoira Almeis, it doesn't mean necessarily it's your relative. It means anyone you felt close to. If you feel close to someone and he passes away, and in the process of that mourning, you decide to pull out your hair or cut yourself, you get Malkus. That's the violation. It doesn't say relative anyway. It doesn't have to be relative. It's a mace. Rav Landau says it's Pasha Kapshuta. When it says the word mace, it includes a non-Jew. So if a non-Jew died, and you're upset about it, and you cut yourself or pull your hair out, and you won't, you'll get Malkus. Rav Landau right away says, by the way, if the reason you're upset, he adds in a normal thing, let's say you have a non-Jewish friend, it could be, and he says Jewish as well, by the way. Let's say you have a non-Jewish friend or a Jewish friend who passes away, and you have no shtar, and he owed you a lot of money, so really, that's why you're upset. So the point is that before that, Orlando says that if the person passes away and you have no star and you owe you $1 million and you're upset about $1 million and you cut yourself and pull your hair out, you're not going to be chayev. Because when it discusses getting Malkus over the death of the person, it's because you're cutting or pulling your hair out over the death of the person. If the guy owes you money and that's why you're upset about it, that's not over the death of the person. Of course you're upset he died, but you're more upset about the money. That doesn't count. That means if the guy died who owed you money, it's more like your house fell down. If someone's house falls down and he does these things, the Rambam says you're not like it. It's only like you only get lashes if it's for a death or idolatry. So Orlando says death or idolatry means that the death has to mean that you're over the death, not the result that you're not going to get paid your money anymore. If the guy owed you money and he dies and you're upset about it, then you cut yourself. Okay, so you should have cut yourself maybe, but that's not a punishable crime. In general, that's another machlekes. I wasn't going to go into it. It might be an iser deraisa of chayvul ba'atzma, but that's not this case here. That might be a second problem when a guy's doing it. That means it might be a general problem. You're not allowed to punch yourself in the face. And if you do, you might be violating a chayvul. Right, you can't do anything yourself, but that's not here. Here would be a violating too, if that you include that. That would mean someone who cuts himself over a dead person would violate this prohibition and also maybe violate the other one. But this, we're talking about specifically this one, over a dead guy and over idolatry. We don't care about idolatry for now. So it's over a dead guy. And the dead guy means over the dead guy. That's what it means. And the Rav Landau says, dead guy means the dead guy, Jew or goy, but dead guy means for the dead guy, not for the money he owes you. So Rav Kush has the kasha. I'm going to read you Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has this kasha. What is the introduction of the words? Banam atem l'shem l'keichem. Why is that the introduction? The introduction, we're all children of God. By the way, don't cut yourself. Okay, I mean, why would that be the segue from children of God? So Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says like this, fascinating. He says, I'll read the words inside. Tzarech Hadas. We have to know. Matam, what's the reason? Samach, that we can make next to each other. Maimer Banamatem. The Maimer, the words of Banamatem. The Maimer, the Lois Gaidu. To the Maimer of Lois Gaidu. What does one have to do with the other? Niras, he says, Shemeschavin Loimer, Shebemisa, Seish, Eina Veda Lames. When someone dies, it's not a loss for the dead person. It's like a person who sent his son away for business. And after the father told him, come back. The son's not losing that much. The son's not losing. He's returning to the place he's supposed to be. He has a place where he's supposed to go back to. It's good he's going back to where he belongs. A son's returning to a father. That's the makar of life, he says. Therefore, you can't get too upset. And stop making yourself bald. So if someone's going to cry, over-mourn, which would include cutting himself or pulling his hair out, since that's the wrong approach, because you're acting as if he's not returning to where he belongs. Since it's acting where he belongs, you can't overdo it. That's the problem. And then he openly states, Darachayim HaKadosh, on the bottom of Hashem again, this wouldn't apply to a non-Jew, because a non-Jew is not returning home. A Jewish neshama is different, and a Jewish neshama went on a trip, and now he's coming home. And a goy not. So Rav Landau, who says, Gadol, Rav Landau says, as a throwaway line, a goy would be included, it's a little difficult to understand. It depends on the reason for the law. If the reason for the law is like the Arachayim HaKadosh says, because don't overdo it because he's returning to where he belongs. We're upset that we lost someone who passes away. Yes, we're upset about it. But we recognize that the person's going to a better place, as they always say. So if you believe the person's going to a better place, he's not saying better place, he's saying returning home. If the Jewish neshama is returning home, you can't overdo it. And he openly states, and a non-Jewish Hashem is not returning home, so you're allowed to overdo it. So then it would be, according to this approach, what Kush is saying as well, that if someone cuts himself or pulls his hair out over the death of his friend who's not a Yid, he would not necessarily violate this biblical commandment. It might not be a good thing to do in general, like Israel says, to hurt yourself. But it wouldn't be this violation. This violation would be limited. So I decided, I noticed something very interesting. The pasuk we just read, Banam Hashem HaKek Leis Goydu, the Rambam's Lashon here, How are we going to understand the Rambam's Lashon? The Rambam said, Hasoirit Srita Achas Al Hames. What does the word Al Hames mean? Al Hames means a dead guy. Does a dead guy include a Yid, or the dead guy does not include a Yid? Why did the Rambam use the word Mace? So I thought Pashat, the Pasuk says. We just read the Pasuk. Bonam Atem Lashem Lekechem, Loises Goydu, Loitasimu Karcha Beninechem, La Mace. So since the Torah says the word lames, the Rambam used the word lames. Whatever the Torah means, if it means a Jew or a guy, the Rambam means a Jew or a guy. But there's an issue. Because I said before, the two psukim go together. If you would stam read this pasuk, we don't know exactly what's going on. What does it say over here?
You could start thinking every word is written in the Torah mes, to be also good.
Right.
Guy of a mes.
Right.
Well, what are you going to think?
And yet in the other place it doesn't say it. Beseret lo nefesh. Here it says the word nefesh. In one place the Torah uses this iser in the same pasuk, not the same issa, and says the word mace, and in one place it says nefesh. So I was wondering, where does it go now? How do you understand the words of the Rambam? The Rambam's quoting a pasuk. When it says the word lemace, is lemace an inclusive statement of non-Jewish people as well? Forget Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is giving you a reason. Forget the reason. What does the pasuk say? What does lemace mean in Yistam Das? So with this, I found a fascinating idea. This is unbelievable. The Mishnah in Lamed Zion in Sanhedrin is discussing that when witnesses come forward to testify, what we try to do is we call Ma'ayimim ala Edim. Ma'ayimim ala Edim means we admonish the witnesses. We scare them. Two guys come to court, we want to warn them. By the way, don't mess up. Don't mess up. Take your words seriously. And the Mishnah goes through a bunch of different things we tell these people. So we bring them in, Hayim Achnisma, so we bring them in, Ma'ayimim, we scare them. We tell them, first of all, just know the law. Shema Tarmim Umud, perhaps you say that it's on conjecture or hearsay. Don't do conjecture, hearsay, you're testifying. Maybe you heard someone else testify, Ed Mipiyed. Even Mipiyed, the member, your best friend who you trust, your father who you trust told you this. Don't, you can't come to court. Do you know that what you're doing, we're going to check you, but if you're a mashu'ah, we're going to figure it out. Then they add on these words. Haviyadeya, you as witnesses have to know. When it comes to money, if you're lying and you make a mistake, okay, you'll pay back. If we catch you, you'll pay it back. Don't worry about it. But when it comes to Dina Nefashas, if you're coming to a capital crime and we're going to check you out, we're going to investigate, you better make sure you're right. Know one thing. If you make a mistake, we're going to kill this guy on your word. We're not killing him. We're killing the future also. Children, grandchildren, how do you know this? Mother Rishon.
Shkemetzim b'kayin, Kayin that killed his brother, and the pasuk says demei achicha tayakim, the plural demei. He didn't just kill Hevel, he killed generations and generations and generations. So we're telling this guy, be careful what you're saying. Okay, very nice. Good shmooze. And he's doing a little, I'm going to skip a little bit now. Then it says, you have to know one thing. The world was created by one person. And the way they understand the Oswald explains, with other similar explanations, is that Adam created all mankind. Noach created all mankind. You want to know the power of one person? You kill one person, he has the power of Noach. He has the power of Adam. Every one of us could create a billion people eventually. So when you're killing one person, you're killing a billion people. That's what it's telling them. You're telling this guy, Lefichach nivra adam yechide. L'lamdecha, why was the world created this way? Shekol ha-ma'abed nefesh achm Yisrael. Whoever destroys a single life from Yisrael, ma'alav ha-kosuk yibud adam olay. It says, if he destroyed an entire world. V'chol ha-makayim, and whoever preserves nefesh achas mi Yisrael, ma'alav ha-kosuk yibud adam olay. It's as if he helped the whole world, as if he considered, as if he preserved the entire world. So if you are messing up with a Jewish neshama here, and you're going to give false testimony, you have to understand that you're destroying an entire world. But the Mishnah's word, twice, when it says this musavart, understand that when you kill someone, you're killing a world. When you save someone, you're killing a world, adds in the words of Nefesh Ach Yisrael. Now let's see a Rambam. The Rambam says, in 12:3, Yud Beis Gimel, Amra Edim, the Edim come before the court and they ask him, did you recognize the guy? Do you know what's going on? Did you give the proper warning? They're going everything. Did you hear it? Hayyadim, do you know? Same shmooze. Shaloika dinim amenes dinim fashas. Like I just told you, Mishnah, it's open Mishnah. Dinim amenes, you can give money and get rid of it. Dinim fashas, what happens? Damai v'dam z'rasam. These are the words he's saying. All his children at Saif Oilam. Shari l'kayin, which means we tell the guy. Shari l'kayin, nema called d'meya chechatzoikim. So the Rambam's quoting what we're giving these words specifically. Lefichach, Rambam continues to quote what we're telling the guy. Nivra adam yechidim olam. A person's created alone. The lamed to teach us. Listen closely. What I said before is what? The lamed shekolam ma'abed nefesh achas mi Yisrael. Rambam says, the lamed shekolam ma'abed nefesh achad. Ma'alan av akasav kilu avad olam kuloi. The cholam akayim nefesh achas. Ma'alan av akasav kilu kayim olam olam. So the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin, quoting almost word for word for the Mishnah, took out one crucial word, took out the word Yisrael. But that's not even what's impressive. What's more surprising is that the Rambam in Hilchas Retzeach, the Frankel Rambam didn't point this out, I don't know why, the Rambam in Hilchas Retzeach is talking about the laws of murder. And you know what happens to the laws of murder? We have an obligation to save people's lives. So if you see, is the case, Haroya Roy Devach HaKhver, you see A trying to kill B. Or another case similar, you see someone drowning. You have an obligation to save the guy. And that's a violation. You have to biblically liable if you did it wrong. Are you liable for lashes? No lashes. Why? Because as we've said many times in this class, the only time to get lashes is when you do an action. If you're standing on the shoreline and you're watching someone drowning, you could save him. Or you're standing on the side and watching A kill B and you could save him, but you're not doing anything. You don't get malchus because you didn't do anything. It's bad, but you can't get punished. A punishable malchus is only when you do an act of crime, not when you're watching a crime. The Rambam says these words, end of Perek Aleph. Afal pi she'en loikin, even though if you're watching someone drown, you're watching A kill B, we don't give you malchus, alav and elu, on these prohibitions. Why? We just said, pibnei she'en behem maisa, it's no maisa, but Rambam will tell you, listen, it's no maisa, no malchus. But understand, you watch the guy drown. You have to understand, chamurim heim. It's a very serious violation. You stood by and watched someone die. Here goes the Rambam's words. Listen carefully. Shekol ha-ma'aved nefesh achas. If someone kills one person, mi Yisrael. Kilo avid kalaylam. V'chol ha-makayim nefesh achas, mi Yisrael. Kilo kayim, kalaylam kulay. So the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin, quoting the Sanhedrin talking, took out a word, mi Yisrael, made it sound like all mankind are equal. Every person could create an entire world. But in Hilchas Retzeach, when the Rambam is not quoting what Bezin is saying, he's quoting the idea of understand how standing idly by is serious. Over here, he added in the word Yisrael, which would mean, according to the Rambam, almost, if you're watching a non-Jew drown, or you're watching A kill a non-Jew, it might not be the same severity of the crime. He calls it a severe crime, but he adds in the word Yisrael. So we have a machlokes, we have an interesting thing. When you say the word nefesh achas, are you including goyim when it comes to murder? Not murder itself, watching someone die. When you're coming to warning witnesses, are you including non-Jews or only about Jews? And it's possible to say,
that this difference would be applicable to as well over here. How do we look at the body of a non-Jewish person? Does he have the ability to create a million people or not? If you're going like the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, he openly says it, the Jew returns. But let's say the reason why is more like a Gzeiras HaKasev, meaning the Torah used the words either mace or nefesh, and it means do not cut yourself, do not pull out your hair on the death upon what's called a mace or a nefesh. Now we could decide, when the Torah or the Rambam or the usage of the word mace and nefesh, does mace and nefesh limit it to a Jew, and then you're only obligated if you do this for a Jewish person who passed away? Or no, nothing to do with a Jewish. The word nefesh and mace can include non-Jews. Non-Jews and Jews are equal when it comes to the terminology of these words. And if it's equal in the terms of terminology, then someone who overdoes it, pulls out his hair, something like that for a non-Jew would be a problem. You're discussing a different idea. Says that when the goyim are drowning, we're not supposed to be happy about it. But we're discussing something else. When we're talking about don't have this process, are we including a non-Jew or are we not including a non-Jew? And as well, we see that the Rambam seems to go back and forth when it talks about the greatness of saving a life. Does he mean all or not? That was the first two-thirds of the share. One more similar question. And Rav Landau brings it up. And Rav Landau says, Pasha not, but I'm not so sure. Rav Landau said that if a guy cuts himself over a guy, he's zicha chayiv. Not a guy for money, not a Jew for money, but a guy is a neshama, if that word applies, if a guy dies and the guy's overboarding it, he's violating the law. Then in his statement, Derech Agav, he says, he's not even trying to point it out, he says, but let's say we know, I don't know who here, but let's say a guy has a beloved pet, and the pet dies, and over the loss of his pet, cat, dog, goldfish, whatever it's going to be, right? Or is a guard dog, the guy has the guard dog on the old days, and he's overwhelmed with grief, and he cuts himself. Do we include that as well? Could an animal be called a mace? What about a nefesh? Sorry, nefesh. So it's fascinating to know that the Gemara in Beya Daf Chaf discusses an halacha. The Gemara in Beya discusses that you are allowed to cook on Yom Tov. We cook on Yom Tov. But the Gemara says that it's a debate. When you're cooking on Yom Tov, how big of a leniency does it go? Are you allowed to cook for 15 people when you're only one person? The Gemara discusses that. What about cooking for non-Jewish people? Are you allowed to cook on Yom Tov for a non-Jew? The Gemara in Beya debates it. It has a machloikas. Are you allowed to cook for non-Jews as well? And the Gemara there says that when the Pasuk says the word nefesh,
afilu behema mashma. The word nefesh, according to that Gemara, according to both mandarim that Gemara actually, even though they're arguing about something else, the word nefesh automatically includes an animal. An animal is called a nefesh. So you have to know, going back now, that the word nefesh is automatically, it creates a whole different situation now, because our pasuk says about a nefesh. That pasuk is,
Asha yoichol l'chol nefesh hu levada yasa lechem. Ach, which means except, because on Shabbos you're not allowed to cook. Ach, asher yoichol l'chol nefesh, food that has to be eaten, nefesh, hu levada yasa lechem. You're allowed to cook. You're allowed to cook Yom Tov. And the Gemara here says that nefesh includes a non-Jew. Rabbi Akiva says it openly, and Rabbi Elazar, who disagrees on a...
is still technically agreeing that when it comes to an animal, nefesh is included. Elsewhere as well, we have an idea.
In Hilchis,
eating a truma.
As well, we know that if a Kohen eats truma, he's allowed to give truma to what? His animals and his non-Jewish slaves.
And we know that a Kohen, he's allowed to take his truma, it seems like, and give the food, the truma food, to the animal. Why? Because the animal's included in the word nefesh. That's how it has to be. Nefesh includes an animal.
According to this Gemara over here, and according to the potentially the Gemara when it comes to truma. So when you read these words, v'seret l'nefesh le'sitnu, I tell you, one place it says mace, but one place it says nefesh. You're not allowed to cut yourself for a nefesh. If nefesh includes a guy, then a guy should be included. So then you have to decide if nefesh includes an animal.
So fascinating, Rabbi Landau, he seemed to say that a guy is automatically included in this halacha. Aruch Chaim, obviously, was saying, did not say that. Clearly, Aruch Chaim's openly about that. We stamazay brought in this theory in the Rambam when it comes to the galus of a nefesh, of saving a life, does include a guy or not. And Rav Landau also discussed a behemah. He said, Pasha the behemah is not a problem. He said that behemah is similar to the guy whose boat sinks or his house falls down. So even though it's definitely not punishable by lashes. If it's also not, it's a different conversation, not for now. But either way, a house monetary thing is not liable for lashes. So he says that behemoth should be the same thing. We're saying, wait a second. If the Torah is saying the word nefesh, if Vayikra used the word nefesh, it could be a behemoth included, which would mean if a guy overreacts, if that's the word, he cuts himself or he pulls out his hair, when it comes to his animal, I don't know if his animal, any animal maybe, it would be a problem. He would violate it and receive malchus. Absolutely.